Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
Visionaries of Fatima. And so we'll get into that, and also we'll talk about the readings and the gospel for this coming seventh week of Ordinary Time. And we'll discuss things about what is the difference with moral and ethics, and because many people think it's the same thing. And also, what would you do also if you were presented with the opportunity to do in your enemy? Would you go ahead and proceed with that, or and try to get revenge or justice, as you would, you may look at it, or will you just take the higher ground and not do so? Anyway, I wanted to just start off with a little prayer first. Actually, it's a quote, and then we'll pray the Our Father. And this quote is, I shared this last week when I went on, you know, because this is the year of hope. It's the ordinary jubilee of hope. And, you know, jubilees aren't that common. You might realize, I mean, it seems like we just had one. What was that, 2015 or 2016? And jubilees usually happen every 25 years. And so we had the Great Jubilee, of course, that was year 2000. And so 25 years from that would be 2025. But we had, what we call the Extraordinary Jubilee, it was the Extraordinary Jubilee, where it was the 50th Jubilee from the Vatican II. It was a 50-year from what it ended in 1965, so the 50-year would be 2015. So this is a special year. Again, Jubilees don't happen that often, and who knows, there may actually be another Jubilee starting in the year 2030, which would be 2,000 years when Jesus Christ started his ministry, or they may have a jubilee on 2033, would be, again, 2,000 years from our Lord's death, resurrection. And so with that, let's first go and pray the Our Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And so, you know, this show is titled Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And what that means is that we are signed with the cross of Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Now, some people know the prayer, as the Lord's Prayer. In Catholic circles, we always use the first two words, or the first word, which was in Latin, you know, Pater Noster. Those are the first two words of the Our Father prayer. And that's why it's known as the Our Father. But in other circles, people would just call it the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus Christ gave that to us when he prayed this prayer, the most perfect prayer, to the Heavenly Father. And so what I hope to do, and Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and I try to do every week, is to, you know, bring you some insightful commentary, you know, from a Catholic perspective, and I try to bring it and make it practical, trying to enliven the discussion or the topics from the weekly readings that we have from Scripture, you know, from that's at Mass, but also see how that applies to our life. And so I also wanted to say before I go on, I'm talking about the two saints, the brother and sister saints, Jacinta and Francesco Marto. I also wanted to let you know or make an announcement about an upcoming talk that I'll be having on Saturday, March 29th at St. Patrick's Church. And this would be a morning retreat where there'll be an 8 o'clock Mass, and then I'm going to give a talk after the Mass is over. They're going to have like a continental breakfast there, and then I'm going to be giving a talk to the women's group there. It's a free talk. I think they'll take free will offerings. And the title of the talk is Discovering One's True Self and Mission in Life Through the Joys and Sorrows of Our Lord and Our Lady. And so this would be something that you might want to, you know, tell other women to come to, whether they're single or married, their mothers or grandmothers. They may want to come here because it's not too late to discover your mission in life, and also to understand your true self. Because many people, you know, go in life that they have this persona or personality, and it actually gets away to the true person that they are, that they were made in the image and likeness of God. And so I'm going to be talking about that, and it'll give me a chance to meet you. If any of you listeners want to come to that, any women, then and let me know if you're one of the listeners here on In His Sign Catholic Radio. All right, so let's go and talk now about the saint of the day. Is actually the brother and sister saints. And this is pretty rare to have brother and sister saints. I think we have, if my memory serves me right, is it Saint Scholastica and Saint Benedict? They're brothers and sisters. And I think there were some other saints. I forget their name. I don't know if it was Cosmas and Damian. I could be wrong on that. But this feast day is actually the day that Saint Jacinto Marto passed away. And so she passed away in 1920, and she was born in 1910. So she was literally just 10 years old when she passed away. Whereas her brother Francesco, he was born in 1908 and died in 1919. And he also, he was just about to be 11 years old, but he died also at 10 years old. And they both died from the Spanish flu. From what I understand, that the Spanish flu didn't come from Spain. I think it came from North America. There's a misnomer right there. But anyway, these brother and sister saints, they are known for bodily ills, or you can ask their help if you have any bodily ills, if you're sick, or to pray against sickness. And also they are also patron saints for those who are ever ridiculed for their piety or their religiousness or their faith. So any of you who like to go to church daily Mass, or you who have a pray the rosary and get put down on it by some friends who aren't really practicing their faith or lost their faith, and say that, oh, praying the rosary is, just repeating vain words, when people don't realize that the rosary is literally the gospel being said in the short summary through the eyes of the Blessed Mother, by looking at the joys during her life, the glorious mysteries, the luminous mysteries, and of course the sorrowful mysteries through her perspective. So whether you're ridiculed for your piety, praying the rosary, or that you have a devotion to certain saints, and the people may say, oh, aren't you committing you know, idolatry, worshiping these saints when, you know, we don't worship the saints. We honor them. We venerate them, right? You look at that, to make this a little bit more practical, you might have seen in the news, I mean, it's big news, of course, in the Eagles, right? They won the Super Bowl. They absolutely, you know, demolished and annihilated the Kansas City Chiefs. And so you'll see them holding up this grand trophy, the Vince Lombardi trophy. You know, looks like a silver, football on a stand, and they'll hold it. It's called the Vince Lombardi Trophy because it was named after the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And some people may know this or not, but Vince Lombardi was actually a Catholic and a daily communicant. So he was one of those people that went to Mass every day, and it was no wonder why they won. Before the Super Bowl, you know, they won a few championships in a row, and also they won, I think, the first Super Bowl. But so that's why it was named after Vince Lombardi, who was a Catholic and who had went to daily Mass and received the Eucharist, which is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he told us, you know, to do this in remembrance of him and to eat his flesh and to eat his body. And if we don't, we have no life in us. So, and here it is. It's the prescription from the divine physician that if we don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, we won't have life in us. And who doesn't want to have eternal life, right? This is something that we'll also talk about here because, part of the gospel readings is, you know, do we take the Bible literally or do we take it figuratively? You know, how do we read the Bible? There's different ways of approaching it. Do we do it historically? How is it? You know, and so going back to these brother and sister saints, like I said, they are two saints that we can ask for help if we are sick or to pray against sickness. You know, there's a lot of the sickness going around, from influenza A and B and COVID and RSV, you know, respiratory syncytial virus. And so you can pray against that to help protect you and your family, your household. But also these two kids, since they were also imprisoned as little kids during August of 2017, they are also patron saints for prisoners. So if any prisoners are listening or those who are out of prison, also can appeal to these two young saints. They were just 10 years old. Again, Francisco Marzo and Jacinta Marzo. She was the younger one. Some people may also remember that I did prison ministry locally here at Chester County Prison. And, you know, that's where you heard that very famous outbreak. It was like breakout of the prisoner Cavalcante. I remember his last name, Daniello Cavalcante, and there was like a big manhunt, if you recall, and he was found in someone's yard hiding there. But he was going all around, not too far from where I live here in Westchester. Anyway, just to say that again, if any of you know a prisoner or those who are in prison, that these are the two saints who can ask for help. And going back to these two, they were actually beatified back in the year 2000 on May 13th. And how appropriate is that? Because that is the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, who appeared to the children on May 13, 2017. And so they were beatified, and that was by Pope John Paul II in the year 2000. And they were finally canonized as saint on May 13th as well. And that was by Pope Francis in 2017. So not too long ago. So we're so fortunate to have these brother and sister saints. Like I said, that's very rare to have a brother and sister saint. You know, I'm a lay Carmelite, and part of that, that we are very lucky to have the relics of a whole of a family of saints, and that would be the Martin family or Martine family, and that would be Louis and Zélie Martine and Thérèse Martine, and this is where we know Therese more so than the parents. Therese is also known as the Little Flower or Saint Therese of Lisieux. And her parents, again, are Azeli, pronounced, they just shortened it to Zeli, and the father was Louis. So Louis and Zeli, Martin, and then Therese. And I think there's another sister who is either up for beatification or going through the process. I don't know where about that she's at. But these kids, the other child that was one of the seers for Fatima was Lucia. And, so these three children saw actually three apparitions of an angel in 1916. And then it was in 1917 that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared through visions that these children saw. And she was Our Lady of Fatima. And there were shepherd children. And the eldest was Lucia, and she was able to hear and see and able to converse with Our Lady. Whereas the second youngest was then Francesco, he was not able to see or hear what was going on, if I recall right. However, the youngest, Francesca, was able to see and hear, but was not able to talk and respond back to Our Lady. One thing that's really interesting, though, with Francesco, some people may think, well, why wasn't he able to, see or hear the Blessed Mother? He was, of all the three children, from what I understand, again, I'm no expert. It's just, from my memory and from what I've read. And so, I can be corrected if my memory fails me here or if I misspeak. From what I understand, he used to like to pray on his own. He was actually the most contemplative, the most prayerful. I mean, they were prayerful as it is. I mean, these are shepherd children who, very close. They were, brothers and sisters, like I said, Francesco and Jacinta. And whereas Lucia, that was their cousin. And so, they lived in Portugal. And so, from what I understand, that Francesco was very much very prayerful and wanted to be alone when he prayed. And, there was one quote that I heard about him that they asked him when he was a child, that did he want to become a priest? Because, he prayed so much. And he literally said he just wants to go to heaven. He just wanted to leave earth. He just wanted to go and, die and go to heaven. And you think about it, don't we all want to go to heaven? I mean, the entrance way literally is that we have to die first, right? Like Jesus tells us in scripture that, like a seed that needs to be planted first in the ground and then that grows up, right? Well, and the same thing is like when a person dies and their body is in a coffin and put in the grave, that's like being planted. But at the same time, at the resurrection of the dead, everybody is going to rise from their grave, unless there are some people alive right on that day. I don't know if you remember that when we go to Mass and we say the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, where it says that we'll be judged at the end of the world, right? There will be the resurrection of people, right, and the judgment of the living and the dead. So there will be people that will be are still alive. And so the point is that Francesco just wanted to go ahead and die and go to heaven, and he did. He was actually the first one to die, and that's where I said that he died in 1919, specifically in April 4th. He received communion and on April 2nd and April 3rd, April 2nd, he He had confession, and the next day, April 3rd, he had communion. And so don't we all want to be able to have that privilege to have the viaticum? And that means via is the road. So so viaticum is like food for the journey, food for the road. And what more better to have is to have, you know, the food for our soul, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. But he made sure that he had his sins forgiven, if there was any, yeah, and that, you know, he was able to die in 1919. Whereas Jacinta Marto, you know, like I said, she died on February 20 back in 1920, and you know, she originally died from it was from the Spanish flu. But what happened was, you know, she had these fevers and developed pneumonia, and then had an abscess and developed, you know, tuberculosis. And so the reason why I get into the details here, as you know, I have a serious lung issue that I'm dependent on supplementary oxygen. And so I've just grown to have a devotion to Francesco and Lucia and Jacinta, especially Jacinta, because of her respiratory issues. So anyone out there who is suffering from, you know, asthma, you know, COPD, emphysema, any lung issues, you know, pulmonary fibrosis, you know, interstitial lung disease, any things like a cancer of the lungs, you know, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to come to you and give you healing if he wills it, and that he gives you peace and confidence to let you know that he is there with you, and that he wants you to realize that you're not alone, that you don't have to be anxious or depressed, because we have these saints here that we can appeal to, who in turn can appeal to our Lord, because they are there in heaven with God. Just like how Jesus says the angels look upon God's face, and our guardian angels are with us at the same time. So here we could ask our guardian angels for help, but also we could ask these two little children for intercessions. Again, for anything where you have bodily ills, where I've tried to make it a little bit more concrete. Well, what particular illness did they have that they can so-called specialize in, right? Where you know, the things that they did here on earth, or whatever saints did here on earth, they'll continue to do in heaven. And this was one of the quotes or intentions that Saint Thérèse Martin, also known as Thérèse Lisieux, the little flower, which she said that she'll be continuing her role, you know, when she is in heaven. You know, the other thing that I wanted to say about these kids, you know, when they were in, you know, Fatima, Portugal, is they were illiterate, but they had, you know, a very good oral tradition where they would share things about our faith. And so, you know, Francesco, he was really musically inclined. He did like to be in himself, you know, by himself, whereas Jacinta was very affectionate, if not spoiled, as some of the writings would say. And she liked to be the center of attention. She had a really sweet singing voice and a gift for dancing. And what, I mean, that just reminds me of, you know, my girls, you know. And so she must have been a really sweet, and both of them, sweet children. And all three gave up their music and dancing, you know, after these visions began, and, you know, believing that they were that were taking them away from what was more important, and these were just kids again, you know. So when they first started seeing the angel, I think they could have been 6, 8, and 9, and then when they first saw the Blessed Mother, they were, you know, 7, 9, and 10 years old. And here they are making the decision, well, I'm not going to sing and dance because that, you know, that may lead to an occasion of sin. But again, this just shows that their love for our Lord. You know, Francesco, he was known when he prayed a lot, he He said that he just wanted to console Jesus for the sins of the world. Now, how amazing is that, to console Jesus? We may not think about that. Most of us, I would fathom a guess, that when we go to Jesus, we always have some petition. We always have some need, like, Lord Jesus, please help me, you know, with my sickness. Please help me with my finances. Please help me with the job. Please help me with my spouse or with my parents or with my children, you know. And when is it that we're actually going to go to Jesus and console him for the sins of the world? And so this is really important. I mean, I think Father Michael Gately wrote about that, you know, consoling the heart of Jesus. And that's one of his best works, if not the best. I highly recommend that. Because if you, like, since most people go to him and ask for help, who are the ones that actually go to him to help him? And those who go to him are the ones who are known, you know, forevermore in history. Not like I'm trying to make you get popular or anything, but just look at the examples on the Stations of the Cross. Who approached him first? It was Our Lady, right, in the fourth station. And then because she was not able to help Jesus physically, she prayed and she induced other people to help. And lo and behold, someone came to those prayers, and that was, you know, Simon the Cyrene, who was there for the pilgrimage with his son, Rufus and Alexander, who later became, you know, saint. But he first didn't want to carry the cross, and he carried the cross for with Jesus. And then also Veronica was somebody there that that helped Jesus. So they are known forevermore known as people consoling and helping Jesus. So we should do that too. We should console Jesus, like Francesco said, that he prayed. Why? To console Jesus for the sins of the world. So if you're suffering and sick, you can also have redemptive suffering and offer that, your pain and suffering, in unity with Jesus. Because one way to look at that is when you deposit your 2 cents to Jesus' infinite graces, then you're like adding 2 cents to infinity, and now it's worth infinity. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour now, and so let's take a little break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll talk about the readings in the gospel for this coming Sunday, seventh week of ordinary time. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And we are on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. We were just talking about the brother and sister saints, Francesco and Jacinta Marto. And I did make a mistake. I looked this up about that Francesco couldn't hear Our Lady. He saw Our Lady, and he had to rely on Lucia and Jacinta to tell him what was said by Our Lady. But so he did, they all saw him, but he didn't hear her. And whereas, again, Jacinta could see and hear her, and Lucia was not only able to see and hear her, but was able to converse with her. And so that was, you know, the thing. I just wanted to make sure that I clarified there. What I wanted to go into now was the readings for this coming Sunday, the seventh week in Ordinary Time. And it's from Samuel. And so I'm going to read it, and it's from 1 Samuel chapter 26. It says, "In those days, Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with 3,000 picked men of Israel to search for David in the desert of Ziph. So David and Abishai went among Saul's soldier by night and found Saul lying asleep within the barricade with his spear thrust into the ground at his head, and Abner and his men sleeping around him. Abishai whispered to David, 'God has delivered your enemy into your grasp this day. Let me nail him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I will not need a second thrust.' But David said to Abishai, 'Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?' So David took the spear and the water jug from their place at Saul's head, and they got away without anyone seeing or knowing or awakening. All remained asleep because the Lord had put them into a deep slumber. Going across to an opposite slope, David stood on a remote hilltop at a great distance from Abner, son of Ner, and the troops. He said, 'Here is the king's spear. Let an attendant come over to get it. The Lord will reward each man for his justice and faithfulness. Today, the Lord delivered you into my grasp. I would not harm the Lord's anointed.'" The word of the Lord. Now, so isn't this amazing here? Again, to quickly summarize, you know, Saul was very jealous. He's the king. He's the anointed king of Israel. And he was searching to go kill David. And David and his close partner there was Abishai, and they went sneaking around, and they found where Saul was staying, and he was asleep next to his guard or his guardian or protector. They were Abner and the various men, and you know, Abishai told David that, hey, you know, look at there's his spear. And he wanted to take that spear, but he asked David, could he take that and just kill Saul with it? And then David warned his friend. He says, like, don't. He's the Lord's anointed. And if you do so, you'll be punished for that. And so instead, David had the idea to take the spear and the water jug, you know, like as a ransom or proof that they were there, and they were able to escape, you know, from this cave or this barricade, wherever they were sleeping in. This is out in the desert. And then he goes on the other side of the mountain, so he can't be easily attacked. And he's a little bit higher, and he's on a hilltop. And that's where he shouts out that he has the king's spear. And he said to them to, like, come and get it, you know, and that he said, the Lord will reward each man for his justice and faithfulness. So I think he was talking for himself, but also both ways, because this opens the topic about what is moral and what is immoral, moral and ethics. But again, let me finish this quote, that today the Lord delivered you into my grasp, and I would not harm the Lord's anointed. And so this goes into a practical topic, in my opinion. Now, again, I'm not a priest. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a deacon. You know, I'm just a physician, and I'm just like one of you all, you know, a guy in a pew, but also just trying to learn more about the faith and to extract as much as I can from the readings, because this is really God's word, right? So, you know, Jesus, when we talk about the word, that has two meanings. One physically is Jesus himself, that he is the word. But the other meaning of the word is the Bible, the scripture, which is actually Jesus's words, God's word, put down on print. And as we read it, we read these here that, you know, it's him speaking, but it's in written terms. But so that's, you know, the primary meaning is Jesus, and the secondary meaning is the scripture. But we remember that God the Father, you know, that, you know, you think about him, he speaks the word, and the word was made flesh, and that was Jesus. And so anyway, so let's go into the difference between morality and ethics, or moral and ethics. Many times we interchange these words. I remember when I was being interviewed for a financial position. You know, I went to the Wharton School and I got an MBA there from finance and accounting, and I was trying to get a job at a place locally here. Anyway, I remember them asking me some questions, and I brought up that idea that, like, you know, that people don't even understand what the difference between moral and ethics, you know, because, you know, in the financial industry, you know, there could be, you know, shenanigans going on, people cooking the books, or insider trading and all this stuff. And so, you know, the way I would explain it here to you all listening is that, you know, both are trying to determine what is right and wrong, what is good and bad. But with morality, that deals with God, to make it simple, right? So those who believe in God will be talking about doing things that are moral, whereas those who don't bring God into the picture, they will just say, is that ethical? So that is like a quick and dirty way to understand, or quick and easy way to understand the difference. And again, both are trying to determine what's right from wrong, but one brings in God. So morality, where we use God's word written in stone, which is the Ten Commandments, we can bring in the Beatitude, we can bring in all the teachings that we learn from the Gospel and the Epistles, and also the Catechism from the Catholic Church, and the different, you know, dogmas. Whereas ethics, pure and simple, is just trying to do good, but doesn't bring into, you know, God. So to make it even more simple, let's say if somebody was, you know, counting up money, right? They're doing some accounting or doing your taxes, right? Just to be correct in making the right figures or adding it up, it would be ethical to put the correct figure. But then when you bring in God into the picture, that are we cheating somebody? Are we stealing somebody? Well, then that is dealing with morality. And so they overlap. It just depends on the person, if they believe in God and his commandments versus if they don't believe in God. So just something that we need to be aware of, because the distinctions are important to know with words, because remember how I said that God is the word made flesh, and he walked among us, and that's how John chapter 1 talks about the Gospel of John. But the scripture itself are the words from Jesus, and so this is where, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we have to know the difference, because if we don't know the difference, it could be said that we are, you know, blind. There's a word that I'd like to introduce here that's called discrimination. I've talked about this in the various conferences that I give around here or, you know, elsewhere. And discrimination, for the most part, is always thought as bad. And it is when we discriminate because of a person's race, sex, gender, creed, and so forth. However, there's a good part of discrimination. And I'll give you a medical example. You know how when a person is bumps their head and they see things, they don't know if they're seeing things properly, and somebody may start waving their fingers, or a doctor may wave their fingers, say, how many fingers do I have up? And there might be just one, but because they can't discriminate, it may look like it's two, or they may have two fingers up, and they're waving it around, but they can't discriminate. In other words, see the space between the two fingers, and they think it's one finger instead of two. So there's a good discrimination in the sense that you could see the difference between two things. Like, look at the piano keys. You have black and white piano keys. If a person cannot distinguish those colors, black or white, or that the black is higher than the white, I'm no musician, I'm no pianist. But my point is, then they can be blind. I put my foot in my mouth one time where I had, you know, I was a supervisor of a lot of doctors, and I was trying to teach one doctor how to do something, and I was pointing out on the computer screen, you know, that look here where it's red, you know, not to do this, and look on here where it's green, this is what you should do. And then he couldn't see that. And I got so frustrated, uncharacteristically, I lost my temper. And I said, you know, I put my foot in my mouth and I said, what are you, blind? And I shouldn't have said that. I just got, you know, it was just, I don't know. I don't even want to make any more excuses. But he said, yes, I am. I'm colorblind. And it's like, I just wanted to sink in my seat there. And it's like, because I'm around all these cubicles, there's other doctors there, and I just made a fool out of myself. But, you know, men have a higher predilection of colorblindness than females, and he actually did have colorblindness. He couldn't discriminate the different colors. And so I got, you know, I apologized to him, of course. But this is my point about knowing the distinction to discriminate between two things. Here's one other example about a misnomer. Like when I say the word peruse, if I tell you all, I said, did you peruse that book or did you peruse that magazine? And some people, or most people, will think skimming, because it sounds like I'm carousing through the book, like paging through it. But actually, peruse means to read in detail. And so people may use words and not know the real definition of things. And I'm not trying to be like a teacher or an etymologist or English professor. I'm just saying how very important it is for us to know the words. Why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. He gave us His Word, which is Scripture. So it would behoove us to know what these words mean and not think they're the same thing, like morality and ethics. If they are the same thing, then we may be said to not have enough discrimination. Just like if we think that peruse means to skim over when it actually means to read in detail. It's not to be a stickler on dictionary terms, but it's actually to be more precise in what we are saying and what we are reading, so that we will understand. Because this is something great that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us. God, the Holy Trinity, when He created us human beings, He made us in the image and likeness of Himself. which he gave us the powers that he had. And the powers he had was the free will and the intellect. But also in that, we have a memory. And also in that, he gave us a conscience. And that conscience is like God's word to us. Now, our conscience could be malformed, just like our hearing can be malformed, or our eyesight. And so when my friend, my doctor friend, was looking at things, when he saw things, it was malformed, and that he didn't see that it was truly red and truly green. Or somebody hearing things may not hear things clearly. It may sound like a drum or ringing in his ears, or just very faint. He just can't hear it. And so the same thing with a malformed conscience, when they see and hear different things, whether it's morally right or ethically right, it may come across the wrong way, because through whatever circumstances in their life, they're not able to apply, you know, the golden rule, you know, love God, love neighbor, or the Ten Commandments, or the teachings of the Beatitudes and the Gospel and the Bible and so forth, you know, the teachings of the Church. So the point is that, you know, we have to be able to really understand what the word means here and the difference between it. So going to the back here to the first reading, I'm spending way too much time on this, but here is, you know, David had the opportunity to let his, you know, comrade, his friend there in soldier Abishai, go ahead and kill Saul. But because he's the Lord anointed, he took the high road and decided not to kill him. So this gets into the point about justice and vengeance, right? So let's say somebody had harmed you in one way or another. They took something from you at work, or they took your reputation and they trashed it when it wasn't true. Would you then do something, you know, out of ethics to try to get revenge and equal, or would you take the high road in being like forgiving and kind and empathetic to that person, you know? And so it depends here. And so here that David decided to take the high road because this is the Lord's anointed. And remember, Jesus is the anointed one. He's the servant. He's the Messiah. And so here, Saul was the anointed one, and we all know it later went to David. So this was something that there's more than meets the eye than just saying, hey, he took his spear and he took the jug of water and he's like, you know, say, come and find me. And like, hey, I could have killed you. Well, you know how kids can be. We can take somebody's ball or toy and then run away with it. Hey, you know, try to get me, catch me if you can. Well, I mean, that might be a very immature way of looking at it, but here he kind of did that, but he did something that was so much more honorable, that he respected God and he respected his servant. So here's the offshoot of that. What about our current Pope? You know, he is the servant of servants. Is it right for us to like wish that he, you know, has a quick death, or wish that he was, you know, hurt in the way? Of course not, right? We always want the best for somebody, whether we like him or not. And I'm not trying to tell you that I don't like him. I'm just saying that, you know, he's controversial, but at the same time, he is our Pope and the servant of servants, and so. Look at it this way. You know, we have to give the proper respect to the Pope, whether we like a particular Pope or not. Some people didn't like John Paul II. Some people didn't like, you know, you just named Saint Benedict and other popes. So it's not like just because you like or dislike a person or what they say or what they do. We always have to respect people, right? We have to respect them because they're made in the image and likeness of God. All right, well, let me go on now here to the second reading in Corinthians, where it says, brothers and sisters, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But the spiritual was not first, rather the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, earthly, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also are the earthly, as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. Just as we have been born, just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. So quickly, this shows the first Adam is, you know, Adam, as we know it, Adam and Eve, and the second or the last Adam is Jesus Christ. And that's why we are born in the image of a human being, but also we have the image of the heavenly one, that's Jesus Christ, right? That we are made in his image and likeness, that we are able to create. It's a God-given gift. So if we're blessed to have children, we have progeny, but at the same time, we have the free will, we have the intellect, we have our memory, we have a conscience, which leads us into, you know, morality, to understand what is right and wrong according to God. And that's why we have to be moral, and we have to listen to our conscience. We are obligated to listen to our conscience. However, if we find out when we acted on our conscience and it was wrong, you know, then we have to correct it and fix it. So, for instance, some people out there grew up thinking that abortion and contraception was not wrong at all. It was okay, that their conscience was malformed, and they made decisions into using contraception and even having an abortion. But then later on, they find out through some venue, whether it's through, you know, Priest for Life, or through, you know, different, you know, live action like Lila Rose, or hearing good pro-life speakers out there, or videos and so forth, or Abby Johnson speaking, that they found out, oh, wow, I didn't know. I mean, look at Abby Johnson, how she thought it was right, but then she converted, and now she's a proponent for pro-life. So this is where, you know, we have to follow our conscience, but if it's malformed and we later find out it was wrong, we are obligated then to correct it and, of course, go to confession, all right? So now let's go on, because we only have a very few minutes here with the gospel. And it's basically, I'm going to go to the part where it's I'll read it here. It's from Luke chapter 6. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and the gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap, for the measure which you measure will in return be measured out to you. So this talks about justice there too. So do you want justice or revenge? Because you think about it, Geez, are we going to take this literally or symbolically here? You know, I already talked about how we as Catholics really take literally and symbolically that when Jesus said at the Last Supper, this is my body and this is my blood, that, you know, this sacrament is both symbolic and literal, because that's what sacraments do. They literally affect what they symbolize. For instance, like the water of baptism both symbolizes and affects our cleansing from original sin. So, you know, we have to look at this. Are we going to take this literally or not, what Jesus said? Because if we do, then, you know, if we take all these things, you know, how are we going to convert a face slapper or a money grubber or a thief, right? We have to, you know, if we let them all walk over us, then if we just take this literally, that we have to be able to apply it to the circumstance and also to see if it's right or wrong. You know, we can't be like these Pharisees who are very legalistic, where, you know, they would only walk a certain amount of steps in a day, and they wouldn't help certain people because it would go against these little trivial rules. Well, see, I shouldn't say trivial, but these strict rules that they had, it was, you know, and, you know, but at the same time, we have to look at, well, does Jesus want us to be walked over like that and be taken advantage of? Because, it, you know, if that is, then, you know, if we always turn the cheek when we get slapped or lend money without respecting the payment and give to thieves who steal our coats and then not demanding it back, then it's just really actually encouraging literally violence, mistreatment, and crime. And you know what happens here, like, you know, how we have people just doing all these stealing in stores, you know, they just go walk in there nonchalantly grabbing a whole bunch of, you know, items and just walking out the door. And then if people are scared to call the cops or people are scared to stop them. And so this is the thing. We have to be able to apply what Jesus teaches us here in the correct way and act like we're supposed to. And so there's a lot more to say. But I hope it, at least what I said tantalizes you and makes you want to look into the scripture readings and go to Mass and try to get more from what you hear from our priests, our beloved priests who offer the sacrifice of the Mass. Anyway, I'm out of time here. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Sang, Sealed, and Delivered, signing off here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. God bless you all and have a good evening.